Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 12. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. This is the letter to the church of Pergamos, Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, "These things saith he that hath a sharp sword with two edges." You know, the way Jesus introduces himself to each of these letters has a bearing on what he's about to write. And so I think God is letting all of us know that, and Jesus letting us know, you know, I'm going to talk about Satan. I'm going to talk about where his seat is. Don't you forget that I'm the one that stands with the two-edged sword. Verse 13, "I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth." Heavenly Father, Lord, as we continue to look at what the Bible gives us as far as information concerning the devil and this, his invisible army, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be educated, but at the same time, Lord, not fearful. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear Lord, to prepare for the battles ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Satan's invisible army. What have we learned so far? Number one, devils are many. They are many. And we talked about how the devil had tricked and deceived one-third of the angels of heaven, and they followed him in rebellion against Almighty God. Where are these devils today? Many devils are active here on earth doing the bidding of their evil master. The Bible talks about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and how they increase in activity as we get into the last days. We've seen that some of the devils are chained and waiting judgment. I won't go back and read all those verses. Some devils who are now chained will be released during the tribulation period. Despite the many devils chained and waiting judgment, folks, there are still untold thousands of fallen angels roam the earth fighting against the Lord's work and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We learned that the devils are loyal, and we talked about how just recently, we talked in as we're teaching to the book of Mark, the false accusation against Jesus that's made by the Pharisees concerning his casting out devils by the power of Satan. One thing that we learned is, you know, they're not divided. Devils are organized. We broke this down, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's just not a list of things that is random. Every one of them means something. Satan will never be accused of being disorganized. Listen, it's okay for us. God is not the author of confusion. God is a God of order. Folks, listen to me. We ought to be organized. You know what, preacher? I'm telling you, I go back and look at those maps and it looks like a military plan. Good. It ought to look like a military plan. We ought to be systematic. We ought to be purposeful. It ought to be planned. It ought to be executed. The devil's organized. We ought to be just as organized in our assault against his kingdom. And not only are his followers loyal, but they're also very well organized. Principalities. Satan has ruling magistrates. This means that some devils oversee large divisions of followers. There are devils are organized in a very military fashion. Powers, talks about powers. Some devils have delegated influence and mastery. These devils are like Satan's elite forces. And I think what they do is they are moved around to where they are needed. When revival begins to break out or something unusual begins to happen, don't think the devil does not pay attention. Don't think that he just sits back and says, I can't do anything against it. And so the devil's organized in that fashion. Number three, rulers of the darkness of this world. Satan has geographically placed satanic rulers. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Then spiritual wickedness in high places. These are supernatural depraved plotters. Very interesting when you break down those phrases. They are in charge of coordinating attacks upon godly strongholds. The devil knows how to go on the offense too. You know, just like we're going to study in a minute that the devils create strongholds of their own, they also recognize that there are strongholds for the Lord. And there are churches that are impacting and churches that are making a difference in areas that are seeing revivals. And you know, folks, listen, a church like, let's look right up here, a church like ours that's on the offensive, church like ours that says we're going to plant more churches. you know what? We're not going to circle the wagons. We're not going into a fetal position, okay? We're not putting up the white flag because of something called COVID. We're going to hit it hard. We're going to go after it. I have preachers around the country. Listen, like I said, I don't shoot at anybody. And you know, every preacher and every church had to figure out what all of this was and how they were going to approach it. But I'm telling you, when I tell people, ask me as I'm traveling, they'll say, well, when did you get back and have services? I said, first Sunday in May. Well, you know, when are you going to start your bus ministry? They ask, when are you going to start your bus ministry? I said, we did the third Sunday of May of 2020. They just look at me like, are you kidding me? And I understand that during those times, folks, that, you know what? There were some of you that probably said, preacher, are you sure? The thing about it is, listen, we cannot stop doing what God's called us to do. You know what? First Sunday in June, you know what? We started our full soul winning program back up and been going great guns. I tell people we had vacation Bible school and averaged over 220 every night. And they say, you mean you're good? Not this year. No, last year. You say, I met with our men and I talked to them. I met the church and I said, folks, listen to me. Somebody's got to lead the way. Somebody's got to push the envelope. Somebody's got to say enough is enough. Somebody's got to step out because people are bound by fear. Other churches are bound by fear. Folks, I mean, all the way into the fall and winter, the majority of churches in our area weren't even having services. And that's what the devil's capable of doing. We can't let those things happen. And so, you know what? But listen, it all sounds good, doesn't it? Except guess what? Okay, go buy a shirt from Target, okay, because you got to be aware of that, okay? If you're going to attend a church like this, you have to be aware of it. We have to be extra special on alert. We have to be extra special careful. We cannot, as we teach down through the armor of God, if we're going to take it to the devil and we're going to go on the offensive and we're going to be the tip of the spear, you're going to have to understand attacks are coming. Okay, and they're going to come upon our church. They're going to come upon sometimes. Listen, the devil's sneaky in the way he does things. You know what? He's going to try to discourage your family. That means he's going to come after your marriage in a way he might not come after a marriage in some other church. He's going to come after the kids in our church in a way. You say, preacher, what are we doing? Well, we got a choice. Let's roll over and play dead, and maybe he'll leave us alone. Or let's really believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And let's take it to him. Let's take the fight to him. And so I believe that. I believe with all my heart. I mean, God just lit a fire in my soul when I was called to preach at 17. And folks, I don't know what it is, but I know this. If you're going to be a God-called preacher, you can't have a yellow stripe down your back. And you know what? You better go burn the white surrender flag. And you know what you better do is just keep marching forward, pushing forward, going forward. And, I, you know, come on, I'm not going to be intimidated. I hear preachers saying you can't do this. And preacher, you got to be careful doing this. And maybe you ought to pull this off. Maybe you shouldn't put that on the internet. I'm just like, listen, when the perverts came out of the closet, they held the door open and they're trying to shove Bible preachers into the same closet they came out of. I'm not going in a closet. Okay, I may go to jail, but I'm not going in a closet. And we better just, you know, toughen up. Come on. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. And so this is what we're doing. We're kind of getting the troops ready, amen. God laid it on my heart. We need to just, you know what, we need to have boot camp for a little while here on Sunday nights. We just need to get ready and not live in a spirit of fear and trust God and go forward and see great things happen. The devils create satanic strongholds. We're getting into that tonight. We introduced the thought last Sunday night, two Sunday nights ago, and we're getting back into it. Now, we read here, very interesting, in the scripture that we read, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. He said, I know thy works and where thou dwellest. I know not only what you're doing, but I know where you're at. And he's going to say, where you are at, where your church is at, is in a city where Satan dwells, where his seat is, even where Satan's seat is. Can you imagine that? Wow. You know, somebody says, God says to some preacher, I want you to start a church. Well, what town do you want me to go to? Pergamos. Okay, why there? Well, because there's a great need. Okay, could you give me a little more information? Yeah, that's where the devil lives. That's his headquarters. Lord, maybe we ought to look at the map and consider some alternative places, you know. I've said this, but I love the fact that Brother James Young came to me and said, God's moved my heart for Jasper. You know what I've said? I looked right at him and I said, Brother, I'm going to tell you something. If you came to me and said, what are the two toughest places in Indiana to get a church started? I would have said Jasper, Indiana and Bloomington, Indiana. And I said, then if you'd have asked me what's the two most needy places, I'd have said Jasper, Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana. Folks, you know what? What's going on down in Princeton is happening right in the devil's backyard. I said this to you, but you know what? When we begin to pray over Princeton and God moved in my heart, I mean, 2 years before we said much about it, 2 years before I ever sat down in a room with Brother Reiser and God was stirring his heart about pastoring, and I'm traveling down there and driving down there and driving the streets and praying. And you know what? I knew God wanted us there. I talked to preachers that preached, that pastor in the area. I talked to people that know Southern Indiana. I talked to Gail Russ, talked to different ones. And all of them saying the same thing. Preacher, you know what? You're right. A church is desperately needed in that county. But that's been a graveyard for preachers and people have tried before. And you know what? If we're not careful, we just say, well, okay, if it's too tough, maybe let's look for something easy. No, let's go there. Let's go there. And you know what? I had that very serious talk with Brother Reiser before we did this. I said, listen, this is the history. This is what's happened down there. And you know what? Listen, you and your family, you cannot go down there half prepared and half serious. And there can be no secret sins. There can be no nonsense. You're going to have to go in there. You give the devil an opening, he'll destroy you, your family. I mean, listen, it's a serious business. Okay, Brother Kevin Schwerga took the church there in Terre Haute. Some of you know that it's Terre Haute used to be called Sin City. You know, I can tell you, and I'm not going to go through the history of it. Some of you had a front row seat and seen some of it, but there's been two men that came in the last 25 years down into Terre Haute. Both of them began a church and started a church, and it grew and exploded and took off. And you know what? The devil blew both of them up. Neither one of them exists anymore. Okay? Now, you can sit there and talk about this, that, and the other, but I'm just telling you, Terre Haute's always been tough. It's called Sin City for a reason. All the people down in from Chicago used to come down here. That was their playground. And you know what? It's been a satanic stronghold in the past. The devil does not like giving up his strongholds, you know. And so, but hey, isn't that what we're supposed to do? I mean, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so Pergamos means fortified. Nobody knows where Satan's seat is today. But this, at one time, this city was a satanic stronghold. Beyond that, it actually was the location of where Satan's throne was. Satan is not omnipresent. He can only be in one place at one time. Somewhere there's a headquarters on earth today. I'm not sure where it's at. But boy, I think you know what? Rome? Could it be Rome? You know, I'm going to tell you, with everything going on in China, don't tell me he doesn't have influences there. Is it in Jerusalem? Is it here in Washington, D.C.? I don't know. I know that all of those would be considered satanic strongholds, but where Satan's seat or throne is, I don't know. Well, you say, preacher, when you talk about satanic strongholds, you even mentioned that there's towns around here that have kind of traditionally been strongholds and hard to get things going, hard to pull people out of, and hard to get kids on the bus. And preacher, how do you identify a satanic stronghold? What do you mean? I believe that there are biblical characteristics of a stronghold. You see a concentration of demonic activity. Let me just put it that way. Number one, a concentration of demonic activity. You know, I kid a little bit about Sullivan County from time to time, but folks, listen to me. I was a young man working for John Waterman. He was a deputy sheriff. I worked for his construction company. You know, first summer that I came back from college, I worked for John for the whole summer. And you know what? I knew Sheriff Wyatt that was sheriff back then. John and me used to ride around in his police car together. That was cool. Went up with Sheriff Wyatt up in his airplane to look around for marijuana fields for, you know, a 17, 18-year-old kid. This is pretty cool stuff. You know, this is fun. And one of the things that I sat in the office and both the sheriff of Sullivan County at that time and deputy sheriff, Brother John Waterman, said to me is, he said, you would be frightened, you would be shocked at the evidences of occult activity that is in this county. And they begin to tell about how they would go to places where people are finding things and where parties are going on and strange events and animal sacrifices and things that are written and on walls and the evidences of occult activity. Folks, listen to me. I'm just telling you, it's not just in Sullivan County. Don't think the devil's not busy everywhere. But I am telling you, I have heard about it. I've seen it. They've taken me to those places. I talked about when I was in Chicago. I'm telling you, there were certain areas and certain neighborhoods that you would go visit. And I'm telling you, the presence of a satanic power in those areas was just like, wow. Now, what'd you do? You just quit? No, we understood something. If we're going to go into these places and we're going to pull people out and we're going to see God do something, then we cannot do it on our own. See, I'm telling you all these things not to scare. I'm telling you to get you serious because you're not going to half do this. Brother James Young's not going to be able to just wander down there and half do this. I mean, this is going to be spiritual warfare. Thank you, church. Thank you, church. We're up to, I think the count now is over $33,000 that this church has given for our church plant. You say, preacher, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to set him up for success, not failure. They're going to have enough to worry about without having to figure out how they're going to pay the bills for a while. And we've got to set these churches up for success and not failure. But I'm telling you, you know, here we go. It's on. But I don't know about you. I don't know. I don't know what kind of material you're cut out of. But, you know, brother Goodwin came up here and he said some kind things about your pastor. He talked about, you know, my reputation in Bible college. But I'm telling you, one of the things that me, your husband, Matt Millen did, Matt Millen took one of the, I think, a satanic stronghold in the route that he took. And you know what? Just went in there and watched God do miraculous things, revival things. But brother, we knew what we were facing. You know, maybe we were too young, too dumb, too something to be scared, but we just believed if we went up. Listen, I'm telling you, we have gone on those routes at dark, and we've taken groups of men, and we've gone block by block and gotten on our knees in the middle of a block on a sidewalk and claimed it for Christ. Listen, look right up here, okay? I'm not mad, but I've got to say this from time to time. Bus captains, you're all too comfortable. You're all too comfortable. What we're bringing in on buses right now, you know what? We're bringing in based on, I'm not sure, that kind of effort that I'm describing right now. See, everybody wants to see the miraculous, but you want to pay the price? Well, preacher, I know we've knocked on all these doors. We knocked on these doors. We just can't seem to get anybody. Well, then what do you got to do to get somebody? So what you're telling me is human effort's not working. I'm just telling you, there are young people out there that if we don't go out there and are willing to fight a spiritual war to get, we're not going to get. And a lot of the miracles that we saw, and I saw as a bus captain, I saw as the division leader, and when someone like Brother Goodwin comes in and says some, you know, kind things, you know, you don't think of yourself as that at the time, but what we did was we just went where no one else would go and decided we could do what a lot of people surrendered and decided couldn't be done. Come on, that's still in Jerry Ross. You know, let's do it. Maintaining ministries is not going to make a difference. We've got to get people in ministries with a heart and something burning inside of them and a seriousness. Come on, let's get the sin cleaned up in our lives. Let's get the armor of God in out there. Let's pay the prayer price. You know, people talk about, you know, the bus ministry, First Baptist Church of Hammond. You know, well, they gave away mini bikes and baby chickens and baby chicks and goldfish, and that's why they saw all those big numbers. Okay, that's three Sundays. We need to do that every year. You know what? You have to understand the power of united prayer. Miss Heather, you remember? I mean, you know what? Tuesdays we met and had prayer meeting after chapel, all the bus workers, Saturday morning, 6:30 in the morning, Everybody on the bus route in my division is meeting in a classroom on their face before God. Okay, then we have division meeting and we preach to the workers. Then we go out. Then I meet my lady workers when they get off the bus and we have another prayer meeting. Then I meet them when they go back on the bus and we have another prayer meeting. And then you know what? We go out there and then at the end of the night, before we leave, all the bus workers that are left up there meet somewhere and we get on our face and we beg God to bless what we do. It's not about a goldfish. Okay, it's not about a promotion. It's about spiritual warfare. It's about understanding that there has to be a price paid. If you're going to go into satanic stronghold and see miracles, it's not going to be done with half effort and, well, let's just see and let's wander through and, hey, let's just hit the regulars again. And if that's all the vision you have, it's not going to happen. Listen, it doesn't mean we're not going to see some good things. We see some good things. But this area is in desperate need of a church that will put on the armor and say, you know what, it's time to stop playing at this. It's time to go get it. One of the things that I haven't talked to our staff about, but we're getting ready to finish up the school year and go into summertime, and so that frees up our school staff somewhat. They still have to do some summer preparation, but it's going to free them up. And one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to organize our entire staff. And every single week, bus captains, listen to me. I'm not just going to tell you to do it. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. We're going to take part of a day, at least a half day, maybe a whole day every week, and we're going to bring the whole staff onto your bus route, and one day a week we're going to go in and we're going to drive around and we're going to find new kids and we're going to pray and we're going to hit the front lines with you. I think summertime ought to and should be a time where we build bus routes. We just don't let them flounder. And they're out there still. They're there. But we just got to pay a price to go find them. And so I promise you, I'll up my game. If I'm going to send you into battle, then I'll go with you, okay? But you also have to understand that you're the bus captain, sir. And nobody ought to have a bigger burden for that route than you have. Come on, you're the operation, occupation, missionary leader. Nobody ought to have more of a burden for that area than you have. I mean, it ought to eat you up. And so what I'm saying is there's strongholds. We could sit here all night and talk about strongholds and what they are. But you see a concentration of demonic activity, a concentration of occult activity, concentration of people enslaved in sin, where the devil just has them. Concentration of false religions. That's one of the biggest things in the Jasper area is the presence of the Catholic Church and the stranglehold it has on that area. Concentration of persecution of Christians. Now these are the evidences, but these areas need a gospel light. Be sure to pray, by the way, for our missionaries. Many of them are laboring in areas that are demonic strongholds. Folks, we think we're a demonic stronghold. Get on the mission field. Go check out where some of these folks are doing. That's why they need our prayers. Churches can and should be started right in the devil's backyard. Why not? Why not? But remember, the devil's not going to easily surrender, and to an area that's taken him hundreds of years to secure as a stronghold. Now, I want to take you to Exodus chapter 7. We'll finish up with this tonight, Exodus chapter 7. And I'm going to take you all the way back there, because the last thing I want to remind us of is that some devils are capable of working miracles. Exodus chapter 7. We see a confrontation between Moses and Pharaoh. Very interesting what you see in this confrontation. Exodus chapter 7, if you will, look at verse number 10. Exodus chapter 7, verse 10. Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Wow. Verse 11, then Pharaoh also called wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. Notice this, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he hearkened not to them as the Lord said. Look at verse 20, same chapter. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded them, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood, and the fish that was in the river died. And the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. Look, if you will, in chapter 8, look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, and it shall become Lystra all the land of Egypt. So they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. I read that slowly. I don't know about you, but I feel like itching my head right now. So it's like, what happened? Verse 18, the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and beast. When the magician said unto the Pharaoh, then the magician said to Pharaoh, watch, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord said. Some things I want to point out here. Watch this. God gave Moses and Aaron the ability to perform miracles. Then we read that Pharaoh calls his magicians, his sorcerers, to duplicate these miracles, and they were able to do some of them. Okay, however, we compare the two. We see some glaring differences between God's miracles and the devil's miracles. Number one, devilish miracles are inferior to God's miracles. Both Aaron and the magicians turned rods into serpents, but Aaron's serpent swallowed up their serpents. You know what? Even though the devil can duplicate some things, we still see that God is more powerful. Devilish miracles are harmful to those who perform them. By mimicking the miracle of the turning the water into blood, they added to their own misery. Think about that. The Bible says, and the fish that were in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the waters of the river. Well, you did that, we can too. Well, you cut your nose off to spite your face. Devilish miracles are limited. God's miracles have no limits. At some point, the magicians could not match the miracles of God. They had to admit God's superiority to Pharaoh. They said, this is the finger of God. Sadly, though, some people are still deceived by demonic miracles. Listen to what I'm going to say. The Bible cautions us to try the spirits to see if they are from Satan or from God. That's what it says in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every small s spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. You know, sometimes I have people go to these, you know, contemporary worship services, these rock and roll events, and these, you know, these big concerts, and they'll come out. They're always talking about the spirit. Oh, but if you'd go one time, you could just feel the spirit. I'm telling you, you could just feel the spirit. Now, I think it was the loud bass drum. Okay. I think it was the electric guitar you were feeling. Okay. But watch this. Why do they say spirit? Well, you can feel the spirit. Well, what spirit? Many false contemporary churches claim that you can really feel the spirit. What we should remember is that God's true capital S spirit, I like to say this, has a first name. He is called the Holy Spirit. Not all spiritual, listen to what I'm going to say. Not all spiritual activity is from God. The Holy Spirit, watch this, produces a holy atmosphere. Okay, worldly spirits produce worldly atmospheres. So what we better do is be careful. Okay, it's the Holy Spirit that promotes personal holiness in our lives. Okay, so don't tell me this. Well, I can tell you, they got those girls up there, and they had this, they did it right here at the Colmont Gym years ago. For my brother burned it down, but the Colmont Gym over there, you know. But then they had one of these big rock and roll things. And then they had a Christian dance troupe. And somebody literally took video and showed me a clip of these girls up there scantily dressed. And while the rock and roll music's going on, they're leading in worship by doing these dance cheers. And they're, listen, folks, it's a stinking flesh fest. And yet kids come out there and say, oh boy, you could feel the spirit. Well, you better try the spirits. Okay, what spirit is producing that? Okay, watch this. got to be careful, okay? It should not surprise us during the tribulation period. There'll be many miracles produced by false prophets. Think about this. You think, and I said this morning, I'm teaching on the spirit of Antichrist, and I said to our Sunday school class, hey, where's the last bastion? Where's the last voice? Where's the last person that's standing up against everything that's going crazy? It's right here in the church house. What we better understand is once the church gets raptured out, think about that. And all of a sudden, the Antichrist sees his power. And you know what? You think about it. There he is, that unholy trinity that Brother Goodwin, you know, did a good job teaching us about. And then all of a sudden, they're going to rule and reign with an iron fist. Well, Jesus is going to come and do it for 1,000,000 years, but they're going to do it for about 3.5. And then you know what? Jesus is going to come stop everything. But you imagine what it's going to be like when all of the Christians are gone? Think about that. We hear about those preachers, you know, the two witnesses that come and preach, and there are people saved, but the ones that are saved, we see them later on before the throne of God. They're the martyrs. I mean, at what price? It's like the devil says somebody got saved and somebody turned somebody in. Somebody says, well, I think it's this person. Folks, there are going to be horrific things happening during the tribulation period. During the tribulation period, we read this, Revelation 16, 13. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And before Armageddon, how do we get all of the kingdoms, all the world to join together? You know what? There's going to be unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the devil, the beast, and the false prophets. And you know what? These spirits of devils are going to go and present themselves before the kings of the earth and perform miracles. And they're going to say, we can win. Look at the power that we have. We can win. And they're going to gather the kingdoms of the earth, the kings of the earth, before the Lord in the valley of Armageddon. So, folks, we need to be aware of some things, okay? I know we're not in the tribulation period, but you better try the spirits. You say, preacher, well, that has to be of God because this thing happened, okay? All right, so you said the same thing about Pharaoh? You know, we better be careful and understand that these are the what we're going to see in the last days. Satan's army of devils are many. They are loyal. They are organized. They work in a military fashion to create strongholds. They also have the ability to mimic the miracles of God in order to deceive God's people into believing they are from above. Let's be wise. Let's be wise. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've been able to study tonight. And then, Lord, as we continue this on, Lord, help us. Lord, just bless, dear God. Help us, Lord, during these last days, dear Lord, to stand strong, not just stand, but to advance, to occupy. You said, occupy till I come. Operation Occupation, that's our verse, occupy. Lord, help us to stay on the offensive. Lord, help us to go after lost souls. Lord, help us not to stop, not to back up. Lord, don't let a spirit of fear come into the hearts of God's people. Help us to always be pushing the envelope, always be going a little farther, a little deeper, challenging, going forward, looking for new ground, begging you for help, begging you for power, putting on the armor of God, ministering in the fullness of the Spirit. Lord, because the church is an unstoppable thing, Lord, we are fighting a defeated foe. Lord, the only victory he can win is one that we hand to him. May we not hand it to him, we pray in Jesus' name.